Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Well, I'm delighted to hear about Ellen Road now belonging to the football club.
Yeah, it was a big breaking news, KB, yesterday with Leeds United buying back Ellen Road. 13 years after being forced to sell it. A number of owners have tried and failed to buy it back, but Andrea Radrizzani, he did come out with it a few months ago that he was going to do it, and he's come through and done it, KB. It's magnificent news.
I agree. The tragedy about it, of course, it need never have happened. What happened was how it originated, for people who don't know or weren't around at the time, is that when the Yorkshire Consortium bought Leeds United from the administrator of in the public company, Trevor Birch, they did it mostly on borrowed money. They put up £5 million between them, and Melvin Levy claimed to put in £1.45 million, and it turned out eventually, in fact, he was just fronting it for Robert Weston of New Jersey. All the rest of the money was borrowed, and I mean his name now, the guy went to jail. The Leeds director went to jail, Simon Morris. He was charged with selling, raising the money to repay the loan, which enabled them to do a leveraged buyout. And all Morris did was a pretty terrible job. He sold Ellen Road to the financier in Manchester, Jacob Pedler, for just £8 million. And he sold Thorpe Arch for a very small amount of money. It enabled them to give the money to raise the money to pay off the debts, on which they'd given personal guarantees. So the problem was, of course, they just bought the club and as it stripped it. And the trouble is, the rent was fixed at a certain figure. It went up 3% at the end of the year. So now the rent is, or was, $1.7 million a year. Now think how many home matches the gate receipt must have gone just to pay that rent. Dad has done a good deal. He's more than doubled his money. I think his owner's done a good deal as well, because he's got a 10% return on his $17 million investment. It also means there's land around the ground itself, which now has been redeveloped, which will enhance the non-matchday income of the important football. I talked about it when I was chairman. I'd raised the money to buy the ground. But being a guest of mine at one of the home games, chanting and shouting, generally inciting the crowd to be out badly, the guy said, "Hey, when your partners," and walked out. And that time, I think the price was 13 million. But we were, these things happen when mob rule takes place, as we're now watching with the corporations in Parliament. However, that's in the past. What we did do, under my chairmanship, we finished off the East Stand, which the government never did. We built all the new amenities under the South Stand, refurbished the North Stand, and upgraded the West Stand, and of course built the Centenary Pavilion. So we now have a very valuable piece of real estate, which is capable of further development, which I'm sure Leeds City Council will support. That's great news. great way to start the day. Great way to start the season.
Yeah, certainly is, KB. Plenty of positivity around Leeds United. Players coming in. Not so much on the England team in the under-21s. Losing on penalties again to the Germans.
Yeah, again, let's be too harsh on them. I watched the penalty shootout. And I was told years and years ago, if you take your penalty, you don't try and place it. Hit it as hard as you can, and as high as you can, and as fast as you can. That way, the goalkeeper didn't see the ball coming, let alone they do something. Just have to make a blind guess which side to go, high or low, and spinning. But let's not take away the fact that what we have discovered in the under 20 and under 21 tournaments, there were lots of good young English kids coming through. And now, the Premiership clubs, unfortunately mostly foreign-owned, should be giving English kids the chance to play at the highest level so they can represent their country. So let's not be too unhappy. 18-19-year-old kid took it too slowly. That maybe got to get across. But didn't for the permission by reading the match accounts today. We more than match them. Lady Boothroyd, once of his parish, in his interview said he kept changing the formation, and maybe that wasn't a good idea. We can't take away the fact, I should say, that 20 and 21 and 20 done very well. The ladies' English football team are world champions. The ladies' cricket team aren't doing too bad either. Maybe we should have had the vote for women years ago, even earlier than 1917. Come on, all. I don't think we should be too downhearted about missing two penalty kicks. I'd be more pleased about the positive side. The way the young kids have come through and demonstrated so much maturity for most of the time.
And KB, obviously, in other news this week, finally the government has done a deal with the DUP so they can form some sort of government, but it's at a cost, around about £1.5 billion, we hear.
Well, when you think we're giving £13 billion away, so that many other people, Tanzanian civil servants, can spend £3 million a year, £3 million on SUVs, Jaguars, Rolls Royces and Bentleys, it seems infinitesimal to keep the country with a positive government, positive on Brexit, and positive on a number of other things. The added bonus is, of course, it puts Sinn Féin on the wrong foot. They're now having to backtrack on some of their demands. It's clear that the Tory party won't give in some of the more outrageous demands, such as the Irish Gaelic language be taught in Northern Ireland compulsory, when funnily it's dying in Southern Ireland. That's the story. I think that it is a better deal. The alternative is not a great deal, but the alternatives are far too awful to contemplate. Brian Abbott being Chancellor of Exchequer, for example. Jeremy Corbyn having his finger on the nuclear button, or not, as the case may be. Or another general election. Which I think we're sick and tired of elections and referenda. And let's get on with running the country. Howard Wilson did it, and he had a leader only four votes. He did it fairly successfully, and I'm sure Theresa May, now that she's got the backing she needs, can start hitting some of her decisions on the head, so the face up to the ballot, the dispatch box, or head for the ballot box. I think it's a positive. Usually I think it helps make progress on Brexit. What's really interesting also in the paper today, which weakens the EC's commission's position. As you know, one of the sticking points over Brexit is they're demanding that the European Court of Justice continues to have power over our domestic laws. When I read today, they're having negotiations with Switzerland. And the sticking point is that EC are demanding that the European Court of Justice has jurisdiction over Swiss law. And Swiss have said, no, forget it, we're not doing it. And not even the ready to negotiate, we are not doing it. So I think that is, I think the EC were trying to get that in to make it stronger to argue with Britain, UK. But they've lost that one. So that might make us strong. I think we cannot submit to EC law. We're a sovereign country, make our own rules and regulations. And that's it. Briefly, since the European Court of Justice doesn't possess any qualified lawyers, would you believe? So, all in all, things are looking positive, albeit slowly. And now, there's been a change in security. Theresa May can abandon some more outlandish ideas that put up, I think, by Mr. Hammond, and they're proposing means testing and winter fuel allowance. Now, let me give an example of how muddled thinking can cost a fortune. Okay, we're going to means test a winter fuel allowance. That means, I don't know how many people qualify for that, 3 million, 4 million. That means some civil servant, or a whole army of civil servants, have got to go through the income tax records of every person over 65 or 70. Go through their income revenue records, see if they qualify for means test. Now, supposing they find that 20% of those pensioners currently getting the future fuel allowance don't qualify, so it saves how much money? The important question is, the more important question is, how much did it cost to do the means test? So what's the total saving worth, if any? I always ran my business on a simple phrase, kids keep it simple, stupid, and so should the government. Do you know the UK tax laws are 10 times as big as the Bible? So somebody should take, Mrs. May should give somebody an axe, give them the job of decimating the tax laws and make them simple. Because if the tax laws are simple, there aren't anywhere near as many ways of avoiding tax by planning perfectly legal, taking advantage of perfectly legal loopholes. And when Cameron called it, what Cameron was it, morally reprehensible or something, that's rubbish. You either pay tax or you don't pay tax. We don't make the laws. We live by them. And in the 1920s, the House of Lords, before the Supreme Court, was a supreme legal in the land, they ruled that the citizen of the UK is perfectly entitled to so arrange his affairs that minimise the size of his revenue shovel sticking into his pile. Now, House of Lords said that 90 years ago. So it's either legal or it's not legal. Once you start introducing complicated such as this mean test, then all you do is create more civil servants, overpaid, with their gold-plated index-linked pensions, all of which come off the back and out of the pockets of the ordinary working men. So there you are. Mrs. May, you've got your second chance. Get on with it and do the best you can. And do it right. Do it quickly. If you have any dissonance, chuck them out. You've ended the lesson for today.